Sunday.
Yes, okay. But David's not here, so I get to pretend to be David tonight. All right, so I see a red light in the back and the bell rang, so I think that means we're on. The pressure is only added by putting the camera in here and then packing the room full. So anyways, just to be clear, this is David's class called Sharing Christ with a Hostile World. This is not Ephesians, that's Sunday, that is me, but I get to pretend to be David tonight. I hope you're not too disappointed. And so I'm going to try and get things started for us this quarter without messing things up too badly for David, but either way, he'll fix it next week. Yes. Does everybody have a card and something to write with? We're going to use it a few times. So there's three different times we're going to use this, so leave a little bit of space. I hope this doesn't feel too elementary, but I think this is a useful thing to get our minds moving. So again, the title of this class is Sharing Christ with a Hostile World. So obviously this is going to be geared towards helping us develop our evangelistic skills. And if you're in here, I'm hoping that you see some value in evangelism. And so here's the first thing that I want you to write on the card and take a few minutes to think about it. Why? Why is this a subject that we need to discuss? And why did you choose to be a part of this class? Why is this something to be talked about? Why is this important? Not yet. Okay, most people seem to be finishing up. So let's gather some answers. We're going to develop these more in a minute, so just the smaller basic idea nugget version. Joel.
We want others to be saved just like us.
Okay, someone else. What do you mean by that? All right. You had someone over here at something?
Many people are in danger and don't even realize it.
There's a sense of danger. What else?
It's hard.
It's hard. Right. I'm bad at it. Right. That's part of what this class is for. That's part of the question, too. Those answers are good, too. What else?
Part of hard is a new generation that ultimately almost wholly rejects God.
New generation. That's an interesting answer.
I'm going to give it selfish answer and say it forgives a multitude of sin.
All right. What else? There are a lot of people in here. There's more than four or five answers.
Thinking about being most effective as I possibly can in order to help someone to learn about Christ.
Work on effectiveness. And it's okay if they seem to overlap or be similar. There are differences in the answers that are good things. Mm-hmm. What else? To glorify God, reason for being. What else?
Evangelism is a key element of being a Christian.
Key element. What else?
Improvement.
Improving
our guilt, whatever. Helps us to study
ourselves.
Good for study for ourselves. What else? Responsibility. Okay.
God says if we love him, then we will love others. And how can we love someone more than to share the gospel with them?
Absolutely. What else?
We are in a battle and you need to know what weapons to use.
Battle. Good word. There's a few more we can gather, I'm sure. Refine. Thank you.
I'm going to be devil's advocate for a moment.
Please.
As long as we think the world is hostile, it's going to be hard for us to go and try to talk to the world. So I'm interested to see what David's going to do in this class, but I mean, I'm just saying.
Me too.
And you're glad it's David. But I mean, I'm just saying, as long as it's as long as we view them as hostile, how effective are we going to be?
Right. Interesting.
Supporting or encouraging one another in that work.
Oh, support and encouragement. That's good.
David told me I was going to be in this class.
Yeah, me too.
But I would have been in it anyway for that reason.
Right.
To support other things.
Maybe with that, but okay. Sure. Not Ned. Need.
Share God's grace. Share God's grace.
Okay.
I'll say there are people that are seeking, even if we don't always see them.
There are.
Hope.
Hope? What do you mean?
There is hope. Not after our life, do so.
Gotcha. Okay, maybe we can do something. Any last takers? Going once, going twice?
I was going to say, you know, we always think about people we may know, and I always think, well, there's time and opportunity. So there's lots of opportunities, and there's time. So how are we going to regain that?
Okay. There's a time element to this, too. And so, with a lot of these, there is maybe a sense of responsibility, right? And so we talk about the Great Commission, the responsibility to help people that are in danger. There's a responsibility to help serve a new generation that doesn't know God as much. Responsibility because it can, I mean, it does things for us, right? And then there's also an element in a lot of this of difficulty, right? We said that this is hard and we want to be more effective and we want to refine our skills. And so I think a lot of these sort of come back to the ideas of there's a need and responsibility of us as Christians to do this, but this is something that's hard to do. And so that's why we want to have this class to help make it less difficult, to help us be better at doing this. And so we're going to spend a lot of time working those two ideas, working the area of responsibility and trying to impress that more clearly upon us, and then working the angle of difficulty, and then we'll move from there. Use some of the other space on the card to list at least three reasons that you think you should feel some sort of responsibility to teach lost people. And this is a place where you can include scriptures if you want. Yeah, it'll overlap with some of what we've already said, but, and you feel free to help each other and other, all sorts of things like that. I'll give you a few minutes to think about that. That's not great.
So ask that question again.
Sorry. I want you to think of at least three reasons maybe that we feel responsibility to teach lost people. Why is that we've talked about a danger and a responsibility element. Give some more thought to the responsibility side. Nah. Thank you, though. I think most people look finished, so let's regroup. Let's start talking about this one. It's going to be sort of the same thing over like we did before. Just let's start talking about it, but we're going to dig a little deeper once we start somewhere. So who wants to get us started? Go.
Are we saying yes or no to the opportunities God gives us to share
him? Saying yes or no to the opportunities that God gives us.
Every time we're encountering someone, are we saying yes or no to God for him presenting them to us to share him?
Okay.
That is.
So that reminds us of the passage where we're thinking about praying for open doors and things like that. And that there is a sense in which these opportunities are provided to us by God, and that we have some sort of responsibility to make use of what we're provided with, right? Very good. Or, yeah, and we comment on each other, too. Don't always start over. Go, Earl. Right. We have a cure. Say that again?
I was sharing with you because I sort of was adding to what he said, and I was like wanting others to live eternally.
Okay, wanting others to live eternally. What else?
Going back to what was said just a minute ago about having praying for that opportunity. Sometimes we need to pray that we recognize the opportunity.
Sometimes we let opportunities pass us by and then only realize it once it's too late.
Down the road and say, I should have said something.
They are worth it.
They are worth it.
Jesus left heaven and died for them.
Right. So that leads me to, I have a list with some scriptures with them that we're going to look at. In my head, somehow, I was thinking I was going to get from what y'all are saying to this, but we'll do some combo. So, connected with that, Jesus died for everyone. And so that is a reason. Can you see how that is a reason that Jesus died for everyone, not just for certain people? How does that become a reason to share the gospel with other people?
He did his part, we need to do ours.
He did his part, and we need to do ours, right. Freely receive, freely give.
We sing the song that says, he has no hands but our hands.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. Somebody.
1 Timothy 2:4. God wants all men to be saved.
I've just turned there to read that. So in 1 Timothy 2, in verse 4, it says, God, speaking of God, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And so if Jesus did this thing for all people, that means that all people need to hear about it and know what he did on their behalf. And it wasn't just for us. They need to know that it was for them too.
I got a different.
Sorry.
I believe we're constantly teaching anyway. It's not just in a classroom, it's everywhere you go.
Right.
The way that you answer the lady checking you out at Walmart, it's the way you carry yourself, it's how you dress, it's everything that we do. We are teaching people.
Right.
There's
a need to be bright and salty people.
we're doing that naturally anyway.
Thank you. Earl, started to say something.
God had compassion for me. And so we need to have compassion for others, just like God did.
I was going to say, the verse you didn't quite get to, verse 7 in that passage, Paul's setting an example of what he's doing because of what Christ did for us.
Someone made an effort for me. So that was that. I had that on my list too. That or the language that I used and that David used is that there's a sense that I am a debtor. And so someone shared this with me, even if it was your parents, it's still somebody took the time and effort to teach you this. And what's a more valuable thing to give to someone else than that? And so we have a duty to pay that forward to someone else.
So that sounds like from the gratitude standpoint, that's certainly on my list as well. Mm-hmm. I think also, as we're being transformed into the image of Christ and become more Christ-like, that whole transfiguration on the mountain, Matthew 17, Luke 9, Mark 9, that whole episode about transfiguration, mm-hmm. it's we ourselves are being transformed to the image of Christ. And once we do that, just like he started his Sermon on the Mount, the way he started that off was, you are the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So lest the worst thing should happen, you know, lest the unthinkable, that the salt should lose its saltiness, let's make sure that it doesn't.
Right.
And then he tells us how to stay mm-hmm. salty, basically the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. how to stay salty. But at the end of that, he also goes on to say, Matthew 7, verse 6, I believe, he says, don't throw your pearls to the swine, don't cast your cast it to the dogs. You know, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are certain ways to share the gospel, and knowing what we're up against, the world that we're in is a world that demands tolerance. They don't want to hear about what your personal beliefs are, and only 43% of America believe in Christianity now. When we started out, 92% of America was Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So now only 43% of America is Christian. And so our message going out to a non-believing world, you know, it wants to believe that, well, everyone's entitled to believe the way that they want.
Mm-hmm.
But if when Christians start to say that, that's a problem, because that completely contradicts what our calling is as Christians, our Great Commission.
Yeah.
But as well as what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5,
mm-hmm.
you know, we demolish all arguments that set themselves up as pretense against Christ. So the idea that someone would come up and, well, I believe in evolution, or I believe in this, that, and the other thing. So I think maybe a first step towards evangelism is finding out what that person that you're talking to believes in.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there.
He who makes the claim defends it.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to defend Christianity because it's supported by so many fulfilled prophecies already.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much. We have so much to fall back on. We don't believe in some kind of leap of faith. We believe in factual things. Historical evidence.
Absolutely.
So it's much easier to mm-hmm. support our claims when it comes to talking to somebody.
Good. Let's hear some other answers. I'll work my list in a minute. Let's hear some other answers. Why is this a responsibility?
It's being sad here without it. I mean, I know that's not what you're looking for.
No, there's nothing I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. I know why they have sex with strangers. I know, because if I did not have Christ, I'd find something. I would find something to deal. And it's empty and sad here without him. I need him.
Yep. We talked on Sunday in the Ephesians class about being granted every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so, you know, there's a sense in which other people need this because there's a lack and despair in their life without this. Good. What else?
Luke 12, 8 and 9 says, and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not a fire and brimstone guy, but
yeah,
that's a pretty big stink, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's not good for you if you don't.
Absolutely.
Jesus to mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a part of the responsibility is that we recognize that being lost is a terrible condition.
Right.
Even now, like Rebecca was saying, and in the end, too, that the end of that road is worse than we could ever imagine. And so recognizing that need should push us to want to act, because, like, you know, if a kid runs out in the street, you're going to run and grab them. And so we see all these other people heading for a cliff. well, and we know how to stop them, then how could we do anything but try everything to stop them? Good.
Jesus gave us a job to be seed sowers. And I know a lot of times, you know, I'm somewhat hesitant because I feel like I'm a soil inspector, not a seed sower. Every now and then, I'm in a situation where I have an opportunity. Sometimes I miss it, and sometimes I go, why waste my time?
Right. I appreciate that language that you brought that up that reminded me. I just learned that recently, the idea of being a soil inspector instead of a seed sower, where we, a lot of times we like to think, okay, well, this, we're not even going to try with this person because they're, you know, they wouldn't accept it. We're judging the soil instead of casting the seed. Thank you very much.
And we need to have that same, that pain that, you know, for those people that, you know, I'm here, I'm saved. And
right.
We need to have that sense of urgency to reach out because it's a real thing. Remember one time somebody, fellow Christian, wanted to set up a Bible class, but then he, you know, put it off, you know, like, no, next week, maybe next week. And
yeah.
The person died in a car accident.
Wow.
Receiving the message.
Mm-hmm.
So then you feel guilty. Yeah.
I liked what you said at the beginning. You talked about a lot, like, or made me think of that we, as we grow in our faith, we align ourselves more and more with God and want the things that He wants. And if He wants other people, all people, to be saved, then that's something that we need to want too and work towards that end. Right. Who's going to do it if not us?
Well, for, like, you know, parents that are raising kids, you know, you want your kids to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And in an increasingly evil society, it's that much more harder to have kids, to raise them and follow in the steps that you know you want them for Christ. So we have to do our part to make a better society so that they have every fighting chance to make it, you know, to the ultimate goal.
That's good. So I'm going to start working through some of the things that David and I had thought about together. A lot of what y'all have said ties into these things. I'm still learning how to do this, y'all, and y'all just watched me learn some lessons. Moving on, we're going to learn lessons and do better next time. So we've said a lot of things. We talked about the idea that Jesus died for everyone a minute ago, like whenever we looked in 2 Timothy. But there's also a sense that God wants everyone to hear that Jesus has died for them and that God wants everyone to be saved. We talked about being lost is terrible. And part of this, too, is that if we're trying to be people like Jesus, what did He spend a lot of His time doing? He was the great physician there to help the sick people who needed Him, right? The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And doing the seeking and all the, you know, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, in Mark 2, at verse 15, I'm going to read 15 through 17. Mark 2, verse 15. And He reclined at table in His house. Many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and His disciples, for there were many who followed Him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that He was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to His disciples, "Why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And so, some people like to, you know, quote that so that they can justify hanging out with worldly people. But Jesus wasn't hanging out with worldly people just to hang out with worldly people. He was there with a goal, with a purpose, to heal the sick, right? To change their condition. And so, we ought to work to emulate that example. And when He left the earth, we read in the Great Commission that we've referenced a few times, Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or even that he asked us to join in doing that work too. And then beyond just being part of Jesus' example, it's a part of the example of the first century Christians. And so if we're trying to be like them and do what they did in the New Testament, that's what much of the book of Acts is about, right? Is people going out and sharing the gospel with other people. And not just apostles either. We read about people like Priscilla and Aquila, or Philip, or Timothy, that aren't, you know, don't have some sort of special position, but they're regular Christians like us. And we see them going out and sharing the gospel with other people. In fact, in Acts 8, so in Acts 7, Stephen is killed. And at that point, most of, or the church really just existed within Jerusalem. But then in Acts 8, at verse 1, we read, And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And so the apostles stay there in Jerusalem, but all these other people scatter. And so maybe the first inclination would be that, uh-oh, this is really going to shake things up, and things are going to get bad for the church. But then you look down at verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. And so this did nothing, this didn't, you know, work to stamp out the movement. It just increased it. It scattered it. Like, you hear about people stepping on spiders and like 400 of them come out. Like that, but in a good way. You know, like if you step on a... Anyways. Well, there's something to remember. Yeah. And then I also think about, too, that when Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so there's... Maybe, but we can be the people to go to. And if you want to make it plain and simple, you could just take the... You know, say that the Great Commission is a command and that God told us to do it. Go and make disciples. He said go, so we're going to go. All right, so now let's talk about the difficulty part since we spent a lot of time muddling our way through that. I'm not going to make you write on the card again like I thought I was. Let's think about some obstacles that hold us back from doing this work. What are things that make evangelism difficult?
Rejection.
Okay. Oh, well, rejection, we don't want to be weird. Well, what else?
Profiling.
What do you mean by that?
Looking at outward appearance and making a judgment decision based on their actions.
Oh, us profiling them.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Somebody?
Sometimes I think we think it's more difficult than it is. Like, we build it up in our heads like it's, like we have to do something grand when really it's...
We're overthinking
it. Simple. I mean... One of the most effective tools I've ever seen is just asking someone, would you like to have a Bible study? I mean, that turns out amazing results.
Hunter, I think there's an overall fear of not having all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. You're not going to. It's easy enough just to say, you know, I don't know the answer. We'll look in God's Word.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's not the same as if I think God loved me and I should love others. If I'm the caring physician, it makes it so much easier. But as long as I think of it as a duty, it's something I have to do.
Right.
That's not really likely going to cause me to be extremely effective at it.
I'll give you two. One is lack of preparation, and the other is... We need to be looking for opportunities.
So it's difficult because we don't always look?
Bending them?
Feeling too busy.
Busy, what'd you say?
The status quo of tolerance.
Status quo of tolerance. Wow.
Tolerance culture?
Whatever. Yeah. We worry about offending people?
Is that lack of faith?
Lack of faith.
A couple of these have involved fear, but I'll just say fear in general, just a lack of courage to speak to people.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about these a little bit. Sometimes we run into knowledge issues, so we don't do it because we don't think we'll have all the answers, or you know, like we're afraid of being asked a question we can't answer, or some people don't even feel like some Christians feel like I don't know enough to be trying to teach someone else at all, right? So sometimes we're running into knowledge issues. Right.
I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know what? I don't know. That's a good
question.
You don't know all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that turns people off.
But on the flip side, if you've been a Christian for 20 years
you
and,
just
you
need to know
and you don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the issues that we're talking about, we're going to work on some of these as we go along. So sometimes it's knowledge issues, but sometimes we're working with fear issues. So, like, we're overthinking it, we're worried that we're going to offend people, we're afraid that we don't know enough, I mean, maybe you overlap those some too, afraid of being cast out or ridiculed, right? Sometimes I think people have starting issues too. I don't really know if we said anything quite like that, but people want to do it and feel like they have knowledge to do it, but don't know where to start or who to, like, you know, where to find somebody or, you know. So sometimes we run into just starting issues. We don't always catch or look for the doors that we come across.
Sometimes there's consequences, you know, like you want to evangelize people at work, but, you know, if you speak up and all of a sudden you have this issue and you're dealing, you know, then you'll lose your job.
So. Right. Maybe that falls under fear, too. Some people maybe are frustrated with it because they've tried doing it before and it doesn't seem to work. Like, they've tried with people and struck out enough times that people get frustrated and don't, you know, are feeling like it's not working. Or, I'm glad you said this, because it was you, right? Sometimes it's a faith or belief issue. And I want to be careful here because it's a problem for all of us, I think, but many of us know the right things to say about different subjects. We know what the right answer technically is, but knowing the right answer is different than actually believing the right answer. C.S. Lewis said that only a real risk tests the reality of a belief. That was just a fancier way of saying what I'm getting at. Because our actions are going to demonstrate what we really believe. We can know the right answer, but what our belief is will be demonstrated by what we do. Because I can claim to believe that if I jump out in front of a bus, I'm going to come away unscathed. But if you push me out in front of a bus, I'm going to be moving because the risk is testing the reality of that. And the reality is I don't believe that. So if we truly believe in our heart versus know, just acknowledge, but if we truly believe that there is such a thing as being lost, that other people are going to be lost, and that we know the truth and can save them from being lost, and that we have some sort of responsibility to do that, then how is it possible to do anything less than everything we can try to save them, right? And so this class is intended to address these issues. If I'm being honest with you, I don't totally know where David's going to go with this or what all's going to be talked about. Haven't seen like a syllabus or anything. Sorry. But this is something important to talk about because without evangelism and without people in the fields doing this work, I mean, the church can suffer and eventually shrink over that. Responsibilities that we talked about will be left unfulfilled and people that could be saved could be lost. But in a church full of people who become effective sharers of the gospel, churches will thrive and grow, and in more than just attendance numbers. Souls will be saved, God will be glorified, and the church and us as individuals will fulfill roles that God has given to us as His people. And please.
It goes along with it. Churches with a lot of problems sometimes because
Right. There's a need to be looking outward, because if we get caught up on internal issues, we forget that there are people out there that we need in here.
I think the biggest problem for me is you got to get to know somebody. So the whole starting thing.
Yeah.
Because if you can get to know them and establish some rapport with them, and know what kind of person they are, what their interests are, what's their level of belief, where are they in the realm of believing in God, not believing in God. So once you can establish that groundwork there, then you have, a basis to start from. And if you don't do
right.
that, and then once you start, it needs to be a sharing, not me telling you, and this is what you have to do, drumming it into them. It's like, let's say this together and see what conclusions we can make together. I'm going to learn along with you.
Absolutely.
Just those approaches. And then suddenly you've got somebody who is,
Yeah. All right. So, for the last 30 seconds, what are some of the things you hope to get out of this class? 5-second quick answers.
Teach me how to do
register. All right. What are some of the things you want us to do for you?
Preparation.
What do you mean?
How to approach that.
Okay. What else?
What can I do?
What else? What else? What'd you say?
I'm not sure I think about it enough, so the class can just make it more in the forefront.
Second Timothy 3:16-17. Give us more key scriptures to utilize.
Absolutely. What else?
Different roles within evangelism. It's not just one definition.
Absolutely.
Some of us might be Barnabas. Would help newer Christians become better as opposed to going and finding newer Christians.
Yep, different roles to play, for sure.
One of the beautiful parts about it is that there's really no way to fail, even if you don't have all the answers or you're being afraid of being rejected. Or even if they do reject it, you didn't fail. You still planted a seed. And the consequences, even if you lose your job or whatever it is, the consequences are always eternal rewards.
All right, thanks for suffering through it with me. you can set them up.